Do we have any more prayer requests? All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? The communion is meant for you to see as a ticket to freedom. The communion is a ticket to freedom in your health. Too many times, if it gets taught wrong, it's nothing more than a ticket to bondage. I want you to understand. When you got born again, your sins got washed away. The only way to take communion unworthily is to not discern the body of Christ. God wants you to go in there excited when you go to take communion. He wants you to be excited and happy. I remember when they would start rolling the communion out, I'd get a heavy feeling in my chest. And I'd be on my knees asking God to forgive me. And finally, I figured out that He already did forgive me. And that I was taking communion wrong. When I finally learned how to rightfully divide the word of truth and discern the body of Christ, I got freedom in communion. When we look at this bread, we're seeing the body of Jesus. He did say He is the bread of life. When we look at this bread, we see that this bread was made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. Jesus' body is certainly sinless. And this bread has been beaten and pounded. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. And if you look at this bread, you'll notice there are stripes in it. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood. And every time He shed blood, we get some kind of redemption for it in some area. And if you look, this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus. That judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. So we're taking His broken body for healing in our bodies. The blood of Jesus has done something that no man could ever figure out how to do. It washed away our sins. The blood of Jesus justified us freely so we can stand in the Father's presence as if nothing ever happened. And it made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means everything that was wrong between you and God before you got born again got washed away. 1 John 1:7 says, if you walk in the light as He is, as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Praise God for the blood of Jesus. I encourage you, when you get back there to the little box, I don't know what that thing is, grab one of these. They're free. Just grab one. And if we run out, we'll get some more. But grab one. All right. I do. I guess you can go to children's church now. Go see what Miss Connie got. I bet she got some pretty cool stuff back there. Bye-bye. Those are some pretty cool looking little boots you got. All right. Open up your Bibles to Matthew. Chapter 5. And we'll continue on. We've been in the similitudes. You know, Jesus did the Beatitudes, and now we're doing the similitudes. And these are some things that Jesus said to do. But I want you to not forget. This is probably one of the most important things you're ever going to learn about the Bible. Always, always, always remember what side of the cross things are being said on. Pay attention to who's saying what and who they're talking to. Always remember what side of the cross you're on. It'll save you a lot of frustration. A lot. Now remember, the New Testament does not start until after the cross. No, it starts at the beginning of Matthew. It says, no, it don't. The New Testament does not start until after the cross. We're going to go on here now. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Now, this is Jesus talking here. He said, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's a toughie. Be honest. That's a toughie. Sometimes the best way to love somebody is just not say anything at all. Just go away, pray for them, get it out of the way. And, you know, you got to admit, there's just some bona fide turds running around. And some of them are church people. You know, something about Jesus, or Paul went into an area one time and he preached the gospel, did a notable miracle. And you want to know, a lot of people gathered around and they said, this is cool. They thought, man, this guy is really something. But it caused just as much opposition from the religious mafia, from the church people. The church people got mad, so mad, that they stoned him for it. He did a miracle, and they stoned him for it. So don't be too upset if you do something and a whole bunch of church people get mad at you for it. You're in good company. They got mad at Paul. You know, they got mad at Jesus. They got so mad at him, they put him on the cross. Bless those who curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but it can be done. Now, here's the seventh thing that he talked about. I'm not talking about it in order, but it comes to fasting. Go down to chapter 6, verse 16. says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. There's a lot of people that make a big show out of fasting. And they'll quit shaving and they'll wear raggedy clothes and they'll walk around and look miserable. And it's just a show. You shouldn't even, it's nobody's business if you're fasting. It's between you and God. And it's to get your flesh under control and out of the way so that you can open your spirit, get your spirit in line with the Word of God. I'll tell you something. If you're going in it to earn, if you're going into a fast to earn something from God, you already missed it. You just put yourself on a diet. Fasting's a good thing. You'll find some stuff inside of you when you fast that maybe you've been covering up. But just go on about your deal and don't make a big show out of it. Look at the next one. It's in verse 14. He said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, forgiveness is a big thing. And the one thing about forgiving somebody is to make sure you don't pick up this little churchy saying that gets thrown around a lot. Says to forgive and forget. That's not in the Bible. He said to forgive. He didn't say anything about forgetting. Don't do that. If you don't learn from your mistakes, you're destined to repeat them. Amen. You can forgive somebody and have nothing to do with them ever again. You know that? Amen. Forgiving somebody doesn't mean say, okay, we're back on the same deal again. Here, you just come on in and we'll just go on like nothing ever happened. That's stupid. People have a tendency to do the thing over again. Forgive. It's not for them. It's for you. See, there's something about a man holding a resentment inside of himself. It'll burn a hole in your gut. It'll cause you to have bad health. It'll rob you of sleep. It'll cause you to worry. It'll cause you to age beyond your years. I've known people that have held deep, burning resentments for somebody for 40, 50 years. But you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter. Forgive it and get rid of it. Get that junk out of you. See, one thing about the communion is sometimes people get some deep hurts inside of them. Sometimes some horrible things have happened to people. And they need Jesus' help. He's the only one that can go in there and heal those deep wounds inside of you. You need to get rid of them. People will try to mask them and cover them up and protect themselves. And they end up on drugs and alcohol. They end up with sex addictions. They end up overeating. They end up being workaholics. The things that people will do to mask these hurts inside of themselves are never ending. But what they're doing is they're looking for a sense of ease and comfort. So they'll turn to whatever makes them forget and makes them feel better. When in actuality, Jesus is the only one that can fill that void inside of your life to make you feel the way you need to feel. We'll find the next one in verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things ye have need of before you ask him. And then he wrote out an outline on how to pray. That's an outline. That's not the prayer. He said, pray along these lines. It can take you an hour and a half or 2 hours if you want it to take that long on praying through that outline. But when you pray, enter the throne room of God with your mouth full of His Word. You're returning His Word to Him. You use the name of Jesus. You're always there because of the blood of Jesus. We have boldness to enter into His presence because of what Jesus did. There was never a time when we've ever been able to earn our way into His presence. It's only because of the blood of Jesus. See, this is how we humble ourselves. We look to Jesus and we say, I know it's because of the blood of Jesus that I can go into the presence of God. And that's the only reason that I can go into the presence of God is because of the blood of Jesus. I've never been good enough on my own to do it. It's only because of Him. Amen? When we realize that, we get boldness because it's all about Him. If we look to ourselves, we're going to find weakness. We're going to find frailties. We're going to find failures. We're going to find reasons to doubt ourselves. But when we look to Him and look at what He did, it'll cause you to have boldness. It'll cause you to have courage in the things of God. Amen. Always look to Jesus. He's the only answer. Next one, we'll find it in verse 1. And it's about almsgiving. Do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Alms is a cool thing. Alms is a fun thing. But here's the thing. Do not do it to try to cause attention to yourself. A lot of times, alms, the receiver of the alms, they don't want the attention either. A lot of times, they're already in a hard spot, and there's some shame attached to it, and then they just need a little help. But they don't, however, need somebody going and giving them a handout and saying, look what I did. I helped this poor guy. That's foolishness. That's not going to help you at all. I will share with you a testimony on almsgiving, though. When I was still in Wyoming, I was working in the oil field, and I'd go to my favorite little gas station, and they had these hot dogs that were just delightful. They were wonderful hot dogs. I'd go get one every day. And I stopped into my favorite little gas station to get my hot dog, and there's this guy standing there, and I am a visitor by nature, you know, and I talked to him, and he said, man, you got a couple bucks, I can get a burrito. I said, what's going on? He said, I lost my driver's license, and I'm trying to get to Oklahoma. This is in Gillette, Wyoming. So I thought, well, I'll buy you a couple burritos. You can have one for lunch. It's not just one. It's fine. I have a couple. So anyway, come in there the next day. And then keep in mind, I'm trying to save money, put some money together so we can come down here. And we're getting ready for a move. And I got a grand total of $500. So I'm doing pretty good. So next day, here's this guy needing the burrito. So I'll get you a couple of them. So he said, okay. So the next day, I go into the end of the gas station, and he's gone. I thought, I wonder where he went. So I took a different way out to the field, and I seen him walking down the highway. And I said, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to just walk there. He said, you know, you're heading for Cheyenne. He said, yeah. I said, you know there's a big blizzard on the way? He said, no. I said, maybe I better just go buy you a bus ticket. Well, that don't make sense. I mean, when you're saving money, you gotta be packing it in there, don't you? God's system of finances is not the same as yours. So I bought him a bus ticket, sent him on his way, go to church to say my goodbyes, walk out of there with $15,000 so we could come down here. That's multiplication. That's just not man's system. You see how that works? See, God said, when you lend unto the poor, you lend unto the Lord, and He will repay you. Amen? See, you have your tithes, and you have offerings, and then there's alms. There's lots of ways to give. God's financial system is not the same as yours. And if you think you're going to set on your money and pile it up for a rainy day, better get an umbrella because your rainy day's coming, buddy. It's not going to work out the way you think. We'll talk about that in a little while. Let's find another thing Jesus talked about here. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? That one little verse will fix a lot of problems in your life. He said, take no thought, saying. That's how you take a thought. That's how you take ownership of those thoughts. See, the devil, he shoots these fiery darts at you. That's where these ideas come, these bad ideas. So he says, oh, gas prices are coming up. You know there's a recession coming on. Rent's pretty high. Food's coming up. You ain't going to have enough money to make it to the end of the month. I know how much money you make. You ain't going to have enough money to make it. You ain't going to be able to pay your phone bill. You ain't going to make your car payment. You're going broke, turkey. That's a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. How you take ownership of that thought is saying, I don't think we're going to have enough money to make it. You just took thought. You just took ownership of that thought. The Bible says, cast that thought down. take it captive in the name of Jesus and cast that thought down. Now here's the thing about thoughts. Is they come and go, but what people have a tendency to do is play mental basketball with themselves. You know, they'll get this thought and then they'll try to think a positive thought. Well, I'm going to think of pretty flowers. I'll just think of nice things. You can't fight a thought with a thought. You have to fight a thought with the Word of God. So when that bad thought comes, says you ain't going to have enough money to survive, boy, what are you going to do? You're going to be eating dirt. Says, no, my God. You say it out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. Says, my God. Say, it is written, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You say that. Boy, that medicine don't look like it's working for you. You still got those Mongolian toe warts. You ain't going to make it through the week. No, it is written, by his stripes I was healed. You say that. You return God's word to the devil's thoughts and he'll give up on you after a while. He'll get tired of you beating him over the head with the word of God and the sword of the Spirit. But you got to get your mouth in gear. You're going to have it in gear anyway, just will admit it. You're going to be saying something. You just will be saying what God says. Amen? Let's go to the next one here. Verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. People have this tendency to lay up treasures for themselves on this earth. Retirement plans, 401ks. May even be managed or buried in the backyard. God's saying, put it in his treasury and let him deal with that. You know how many people I've ran into that were supposed to be retired? I was driving a truck, and I was out there getting ready to chain up the truck, and this old man come walking up to me, and he said, my God, what are you doing out here? He said, I was supposed to be retired. So what happened? He said, Obama got elected. My 401k went away. He laid it up, and the thief broke in and stole it. Friend of mine had so much stored up one time, he was going to buy a ranch. And an oil field went bust, and it was gone. Boom. Overnight. You know, one of the big challenges about the stock market and about these retirement plans is they're tied to the stock market, and God does not have to honor the stock market. He does not have to honor the greenback dollar. He honors gold and silver. He honors tangible things, true things that aren't manipulated by the devil. He honors that. That was his idea. Put your faith in him. This verse was flowing through my head. I was working for a company and they said, we got a good 401k plan set up. We got it all ready for you. And they said, all you got to do, you just put a little money in it. We double it or whatever. And that verse is the only thing that was flowing through my head. I thought, man, I'm not trusting you with that. So they came in and they said, "You ready to sign up?" And I said, "No, I don't want nothing to do with it." They looked at me like, "You're crazy." Well, our company went bust anyway. I watch people lose sleep constantly over their 401ks. The stock market's up, stock market's down, stock market's up, stock market's down. My brother said, "I just quit opening them letters." "I can't take it no more. I just can't look no more." If your storehouse is all laid up on this earth, you got big troubles. And we went through all of that, all of the similitude. All these things that Jesus talked about. Then remember, what side of the cross we're on. The cross hadn't happened yet. I want you to look at verse 33. This is going to be one of the most important things you're going to see. It says, "But seek first." Circle that word. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So what's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Then he said, in God's righteousness. What is God's righteousness? Now, on this side, on where Jesus was talking, you know, those people, in order to be righteous before God, they had to fulfill all those things. They had to do all those things without a flaw. Is there anybody in here that could do all those things without a flaw? Better set on your hands. Only Jesus could do that. When we seek His righteousness, we look to Him and we understand that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus did for us on that cross. When He shed His blood for us, He washed away our sins. And everything that was wrong between us and God before we got born again got washed out of the way, and now we are in right standing with God. You know, when we're kids and growing up, and our parents tell us after school to go mow the lawn. When we come home and mow the lawn or do whatever chore we had to do, and mom and dad gets home and we got it all done, we're in right standing with them, right? If, however, they come home and you don't have your chore done, you're not in right standing. See how that works? If you fulfilled the law completely, you was in right standing with God. If you didn't fulfill the law, you weren't in right standing with God. None of us could ever be in right standing with God until Jesus got on the cross and paid for our sins and took that out of the way. Amen? He said to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Verse 15. Remember, we covered this at the beginning of this series? Romans chapter 7, verse 15. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is I no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, when you're looking at the law, you have to look at yourself. Now, in them few verses right there, we found out that I, me, and my was mentioned 37 times. And Paul just explained how frustrating that was. If you're looking to yourself to succeed, you already missed the boat. You got to look to Jesus. He is your only answer. I want you to look at Romans, or just go to Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, not by our ability, not by our good behavior, which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How cool is that? Because of what Jesus did, you become an heir to the things of God. That's what the whole thing was. Being in right standing. In the Old Testament, if you were in right standing, you had these blessings flowing on you. If you weren't in right standing, you had these cursings flowing on you. The Bible tells us that you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That should be good news to somebody. And now you've been made an heir to the things of God because of what Jesus did. Wow, you get blessed because of what somebody else did. How cool is that? That's really, really cool. What's our job in this? I'll show you. We do have a part in this. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that means because of what Adam did, we were under the penalty. You know, just the very fact that you have Adam's blood flowing through your veins means you have need for a Savior. Because he had that contaminated blood in him. We all go back to Adam. I mean, unless you descend to Is there any monkey descendants here? Better not be. Y'all came down from Adam. And you have Adam's blood coursing through your veins. And you need Jesus. Carry on here. Since death reigned by one man, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. That's how you defeat sin. That's how you defeat sickness. That's how you receive the blessings that you need. That's how you win in this life. Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. How do you do that? Sit down. You're not going to earn it. You're going to have to look at that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that says, you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you rightfully divide that word and you understand what that word really means, it's a free word. It's a ticket to freedom. Righteousness means right standing. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now receive the abundance of grace. How do you do that? Look at what Jesus did. And start receiving it. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. All of my sins, all of them, have been taken care of. Past, present, and future. Sounds crazy to think your future sins were paid for, doesn't it? Here's a heavy rabbi for some of you. Unless you were standing at the cross when Jesus died, every sin you ever committed was a future sin. He paid for all of them. I've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus because of the blood of Jesus. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. A new creature has no past. Your past has been washed away. In God's eyes, you're a new creature. Who cares what anybody else thinks? God is the only one that matters. Amen? Amen? Finding out what Jesus did for you on the cross is receiving the abundance of grace. Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And you will rule and reign over sin. And all those things in the similitudes, you'll find yourself not breaking those. Because of your position in Christ. Now, if you're trying to keep those to have a position in Christ, you're toast. If you're going to try to keep the law, if you're going to try to keep the law to earn a blessing, you just scratch that blessing off your page right now because it's not going to happen. But if, however, you receive your position in Christ and the things He did for you, those things that we covered in the similitudes aren't going to be that big of a deal. I'm not going to say people aren't going to rub you wrong. I'm not going to say that thoughts aren't going to come your way and you're going to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning scratching your head trying to figure out how in the world. Life is life. You know, you're going to be walking around in this world. The Bible says that we have these earthen vessels, but it's Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, as long as we have these earthen vessels, we're always going to have a tendency to have a flesh pit at some point. Always going to have a tendency, you know, worry's always out there, fear's always out there, the spirit of fear is always out there. There's always these things that the devil and the world is going to try to send your way. But it's because of the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace that you defeat those things. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that because of Jesus, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We thank you that even though we fail, we're not failures. Even though we miss the mark, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. Open our eyes to righteousness. Give us more and more revelation of what Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection, and more revelation of what he's doing for us right now as our high priest. Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we spent 3 Sundays getting ready to study Romans chapter 8. So, this is a big series. I'd highly suggest you don't miss any part of this series. Romans chapter 8 is a vitally important part of the victorious Christian life. Amen? All right, we have snacks and coffee back here and fellowship and a kid or two. Come back and grab one.